In a world where good news is hard to find, WAVA and One Heart DC present Good News for the City. We're here to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what His body, the church, is doing to spread this good news in the Washington, D.C. metro area, including Northern Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. As Jesus said in John 17, "Father, that they may be one, just as we are one." Welcome to Good News for the City.
It's the gospel that makes a way.
And hello, folks. Welcome again to the show. So glad that you have joined me wherever you're joining me from. Now, listeners of this show are not really surprised from time to time when I quote a section of Scripture, because shouldn't that be the basis of how we live life, what Scripture says for us to do? But specifically, longtime listeners of the show won't be surprised when you hear this verse that comes from the Gospel of John. John chapter 17 specifically talks about the importance and the idea where Jesus was in the upper room, and he prayed this prayer, that, "Father, that they may be one, so that they can see that you and I are one." It was Jesus' high priestly prayer in the upper room for his disciples that they live in unity. But here's the thing about unity. Unity does not mean uniformity. In fact, when we think of the body of Christ, we think of the different backgrounds, different cultures, the different giftings. The last thing that many times you think about is uniformity. In fact, you think of variety and the great creativity of the God of the universe who made us. And sometimes getting that creativity, variety, all the things that aren't uniform, to get together and to work in unity, well, it's a challenge. That's why it's not something that happens by accident. That is something that we have to move towards with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. And my guest today is Gabe Knowlton. Gabe is executive director of an organization called Move Towards Unity. You can find out more about them. MoveTowardsUnity.com will give you some information. But I'm excited to have him here today on the show to talk about what God is doing in the Washington metro area, specifically up in the Frederick, Maryland area, which is part of our listeners, but also an opportunity that you can have to join in on May the 2nd on the National Day of Prayer. So, Gabe, it's good to have another conversation with you. Last time we met, we were meeting in person. This time we meet on the radio, but thanks for joining me today.
To talk to you again, Brian. I have a little bit of trouble with the connection, but I think I can hear you okay.
All right. Well, I can hear you. I got you turned up here on my end, but if something happens, we always got Julie behind the magic board who can help us out, and she'll get it figured out for us. Well, let's start with the name Move Toward Unity. That's the name of the organization that you're the executive director of. Tell us a little bit more about that organization, what its goal, and maybe even how it originated.
Yes. Move Toward Unity is very interesting. How the name came about. There's just, you know, in the church history, but just the hardest thing sometimes is to see the unity of the body, especially in this day and this age. There's so many distinctions and denominations and all these other things. But, you know, Jesus's prayer in John 17 makes it so clear of his heart for what the Bible defines as oneness, echad in the Hebrew. It's oneness. And so it's been something on my heart. And Brian, just a little bit of my background. I've lived on the West Coast, the Midwest, the East Coast. I've been stationed in the U.S. military, traveled abroad, been part of a number of denominations, met my wife in the Assembly of God. She was from a Methodist background. I was from a Church of Christ background. We moved into a season with Calvary Chapel, Nazarene Church, and then spent the last 16 years, spent about 16 years in some Reformed, interdenominational, non-denominational, and Reformed churches. And currently now, for the past 7 years, have been part of El Shaddai congregation in Frederick, which is a Messianic congregation and community. And so it just really covers the breadth, much of the breadth of the Christian church. And I asked the Lord, why the move, why the call, why sending us all these places? And it now makes sense as he's called us into this ministry in the last couple of years.
God is amazing in how he works things out. In fact, many times in hindsight, I look back at some things that have happened in my life. I'm sure it's the same in yours, and wondered, like, if God would have told me this is the way he was moving in advance, there's no way I would have believed it could work out. Like, you're working, just as he says in Romans chapter 8, all these things together for something that is good and a greater purpose. But I think it's one thing, Gabe, to have an experience in all those different evangelical backgrounds. But it's another thing to actually begin to, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the call of he has in our life, to actually take those experiences and then allow the Holy Spirit to use them to launch something to make a difference towards unity. What particularly moved you to make this sort of say yes, so to speak, to the Holy Spirit when he asked you to do this?
Well, if I'm honest, it wasn't just simply seeing the heart of the Lord in Scripture. I mean, that is such a huge part. I kept coming across his heart. What he prayed was the last thing he prayed before crossing that Kidron Valley into the Garden of Gethsemane, before his passion. And then he speaks of it through the apostles in the writings of the epistles. It's just been echoes throughout. But I have to be honest with you. This is just my personal testimony. I've had three heart attacks, three stents placed, a pericardial effusion, four trips to the hospital with pericarditis, and a quadruple bypass surgery. And I'll tell you, in those times, I actually, in the hospital, I actually encountered the Lord in a very significant way. He comforted my heart. I didn't know if I was going to live. I didn't know if I was going to make it. I didn't know if I was going to leave the hospital, especially on the second heart attack before my quadruple bypass. And he met me in such a profound way, revealing his heart to me. And it just had so much to do with the privilege of knowing him and being part of his body. And it really compelled me to just say, I'm here for one reason, and that is to glorify his name, to use the time, talent, and treasure and gifts that he's given me to see the oneness of the body, the unity of the body before he returns. And so that, I hope that answers the question, Brian. There's just so much behind just apprehending his heart and his word, and just the personal encounter with him in this regard.
It's so much there that we could talk about, but not the least of which is, I think it can be easy for us to go through difficulties. We talk about heart attacks. I come from a family of heart disease, and allowing in that moment, instead of the scenario to turn you bitter or away from what God was doing, but rather allow God to do as only he could do to transform you more to walk in that way. Not quite a scenario of Jonah and a whale, but one where God still got your attention in some amazing ways. And so that eventually led itself, if I'm understanding correctly, to the development of this organization, Move Towards Unity. Is that correct?
It is. It had a major part in the work and confirmation of all the years that God had been just training my wife and I, just in life, and just the preparation for this season. It's just a culmination of how he's trained us in our gifts, the communities we've been part of, the training and teaching we've received, and now just knowing time is short. You know, I wake up every day understanding my mission. I'm not, by his grace, he's worked through that, and helped me eliminate some distractions, if you will. I think it will go without saying sometimes when we all go through such things, and there's so many listening today that might have a similar story of just, for me, it was a wake up call. And all of these things have kind of worked together to position us to say, you know, let's trust the Lord to do something that only he can do. And we can only happen when we work together. And so that's, hopefully that answers your question there, Brian.
Oh, very much so. I've had mentors speak this into my life. And then when I recognized it and happened to me, I was like, oh, they knew exactly what I was talking about. There is something clarifying when we understand we are but clay. that there is a mortality to us, whether it happens through a physical scenario like yours or whether just we age. As a good friend of mine, Mike Mentor, a lot of people might know him, longtime pastor of Reston Bible Church out in Reston, Virginia, once said, it's very clarifying in your life when you realize that there are more sands in the bottom of your hourglass than the top. When you get to that point, there's those moments. And so when you felt God moving you towards this, obviously when Jesus calls us, we say yes. But I think at the same time, there has to be some observational things that you had seen that said, this is lining up with the truth of what Jesus is calling me, where unity is needed. Talk some about your experiences and how you see something like Move Towards Unity helping something occur that isn't naturally occurring in many cases in the Washington metro area and throughout the United States.
Yeah, so this may take a couple minutes to answer. And I want to start with just some scripture briefly. There's a couple passages. Obviously, we're all familiar, I believe, with John 17. I think the thing that captured my heart there the most is, you know, Jesus prays. And he said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, out of the abundance of the heart. And here the Savior, here Jesus, heart is being revealed to us in his prayer. And he's saying, may they, that's us, that's the apostles, that's us who hear their message, may they be one as we are one, Father. It just hit me. You're inviting your body into the oneness that exists with the Father, Son, and Spirit. It just overwhelms me. So there's this whole reality that I, just looking around, I'm saying, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe we're missing something that God wants to manifest. And then there's another passage in the book of Acts in chapter 3 that talks about times of refreshing and repentance coming from the Spirit. When we turn our gaze, we turn our hearts away sometimes of our own ways. Maybe it's building our own churches, building our own kingdoms, building our own ministries, building these things that are good in and of themselves. But if we're not seeing that oneness and that cooperation and the eagerness for that, I just saw, Lord, are we missing something that you have? Well, the next verse there in Acts 3, verse 21, it says, heaven must receive Jesus until the times of restoration, till the restoration of all things takes place, as spoken in the prophets of old. And what I've been seeing in our area in Frederick and in the greater region, and even in the country, and this is also happening globally, there's this eagerness and openness now to begin to collaborate, to begin to build relationships that that bring us into greater oneness. And this is a work of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing we can do to manufacture this. We've tried to get along, if you will, for so long, but this is a move of the Spirit. This is what I believe we're experiencing. 500 years ago, we experienced the Great Reformation. I believe we're in the throes of the Great Restoration, and God is restoring this unity, this oneness that the apostles spoke of and demonstrated and contended for. I believe he's restoring those things in our time. We're seeing it in Frederick. We're seeing different kingdom movement, different groups, different parachurch and churches coming together in ministerial fellowships. We're seeing a prayer group that extends, as we call it, the prayer canopy up there. We have over 38 congregations praying 24/7. We're now seeing a 24/7 prayer house that exists, and just a greater movement towards prayer. We'll talk about that later with the National Day of Prayer coming and the expression in Frederick County that's going to happen on May 2nd. But we just see that. And then we see a move of discipleship, a new way of just coming together and looking at what the scripture says is our mission together, the Great Commission, and doing it together and actually allowing people to train and teach us maybe some areas of discipleship we haven't considered. So God is restoring things, I believe, to his church. And so our ministry and Move Towards Unity, we're not creating anything. We're not manufacturing anything. We exist to connect and bridge the movement of God, the kingdom movement of God, and the movement towards oneness, and build relationships first that help to bring about the connection of these ministries to work together, to know each other, and to trust God to show us a more excellent way going forward.
Gabe, I'd like to ask you this. You say that God is restoring, and I totally agree. What do you see, though, are some places where work still needs to be done? I love talking about some of the movement, the 24-hour prayer, and those are exciting. And I'm not trying to diminish those in any ways, but sometimes we fail to sort of peel back some of the things that must be peeled back for the gospel to get in and to heal. Where are some areas in your experiences? I know certainly that you're not perfect or know everything about it, but you have a lot of time invested in this where you see, hey, we need to make some movement here for unity.
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the passages that has been helping me move forward is Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, specifically where the Lord instructs us through Paul, do not be conformed, you know, any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Part of that restoration, I think, that's happening for a lot of leaders is a restoring of thought about mission, about what unity really is. And what we discover is, and this has been my own journey, there's been seasons of repentance for conforming often to ways of the world, using worldly methods to try to advance the gospel or to try to accommodate ministry. And for each one of us, we have to go through the process with the Lord, but in terms of the Lord helping us to rethink or relook at what we're doing that models biblical unity. And so the question is, you know, what kind of time do I personally invest in getting to know other leaders, their work, their ministry, et cetera? And we find we're so busy as pastors, as ministry leaders doing what we're doing that we forget that this work that we're doing is just part of the greater work. And so what I seek to do and when I'm discovering is a couple of things that just help me sink right. One of those specifically has to do with the difference between doctrine and theology. You see, in my understanding and looking at the word in scripture, the word theology isn't in scripture. It's a derivative from the God and the study of God, study of the things of God. But doctrine is in scripture. And generally, every time it appears, especially in the New, it appears around what is taught about the person and work of Jesus, his heart, his mission, his glory, the person and the mission, the work, loving God, loving others. It's that simple. It's not complicated. Theology is wonderful. I consider myself a closet theologian. And yet I'm not first in, it's not a scriptural word per se. And the reality is God didn't first call me to study him. He called me to worship and obey him. And so while I'm pro-theology, I believe it's a wonderful tool, but that's all it is. And what I'm learning is oftentimes for leaders, pastors, when theology becomes primary, it's what Paul encourages us. He says theology is fueled by knowledge. We gain knowledge in certain areas. We hold to that knowledge. But there's a warning there, too. Knowledge puffs up. And so a lot of times where we place theology in a higher place than our fellowship and our call to unity, what happens is there's division because in this, at the core of it, and this is, I'm speaking from my own heart, there's just some pride about what I believe. I know it better. I do it better. I practice it better. And so it creates barriers. I want to add to that too, the word in scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul's encouraging us, I'm sorry, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, but he's encouraging us that there be no division among us. And I find, wow, no division, but that we should be united. We should be joined together in the same mind. And I'm thinking that convicted me so much. I'm like, God, I got to repent. I'm missing something here. I don't know the leaders around me. I don't know the churches around me. I don't know the work that you've called. And I need to spend some time to get to know them. I got to readjust my schedule and find that this is important. And there are divisions that remain, and there are secondary issues 99% of the time. They're not salvific. And yet I hold them in higher regard. And what I love about that word, I didn't see this till even more recently. It says that we should be joined together in one mind. That word joined together, that is the word unity there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's the same word in Ephesians 4 that says he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip. That word to be joined together is the same Greek word as to equip the body for the works of ministry. And so there's this caution to be of one mind in preparing, perfecting, aligning together. That's what the work of the ministry, that's what all these leaders were called to do together. And yes, that prepares, that creates the works of ministry. And there's this word, until we all attain the unity of the faith. So this continually happens. And I believe we're seeing restoration now. We're seeing the hearts of leaders saying, hey, I need to repent from these distractions of building things and believing things that are secondary, to the point that I'm in, this is what came to my heart, Brian. I'm grieving
so, Gabe,
the
I
Lord's
hop in
heart.
If I can here. Yeah, that will happen because we're going to model this, and I don't want to lose your time here at the end before we go, because you only got you for a few more minutes. The example, though, that we're driving to and modeling this is the National Day of Prayer gathering in Frederick, Maryland on May 2nd. So there's a lot you can find out more by going to movetowardunion.com. And I hate to cut you short in there. I just don't want to miss this part, the example of where we're living it out. Talk to us, the listeners, about that, the National Day of Prayer gathering in Frederick, about how they as individuals can get involved, or how they can invite their pastors again to live out what we're called to teach. But sometimes, as you so well stated, we don't live out.
Right, Brian. So May 2nd, the National Day of Prayer, which will be happening across the country in Frederick, Frederick County's observance, will be at Walker's Overlook at 7 a.m. You can go to Frederick Praise, that's Frederick, P-R-A-Y-S, .com, and you can sign up there for pastors, church, ministry leaders. This year's focus is going to be on prayer. We are believing the Lord in the county of Frederick to come together to institute a lifestyle of prayer for the entire church and the community. We're going to have three panels of where we live, where we worship, and where we engage. And then we're going to spend the rest of the time in prayer, providing resources in each of those aspects and spheres of life for how we can get engaged as a lifestyle, from prayer altars in the home to prayer walking in the neighborhoods to reaching out as the prayer canopy and praying in the churches, all the way to joining the 24/7 prayer and other movements that are happening that affect the city, the county, the nation, and globally. And we're going to expose all of that. We're going to have resources. We put together a brochure that shows the lifestyle of prayer. And so we're really excited about it, Brian.
What was that website again for our listeners if they happen to be driving and they didn't pick it up real quick? I want to make sure they got that.
FrederickPraise.com. Frederick Praise, P-R-A-Y-S.
Yeah, and so thank you for that. And again, perfect. Just, you know, we're going to have you back. That's just a given. I say that from time to time when I feel like that we're having a great conversation and for one reason or another, we've got some time constraints or whatever it may be. But just, Gabe, thank you for your heart and thank you for the reminder of what you're doing here in this moment, especially for me as a pastor and for other pastors, how easy it is for us to teach a doctrine that we're not following. And again, there is a call to be in unity, to walk together, to equip the saints, to walk arm in arm. And certainly that is something very powerful. Can I ask you this question? How can we pray for you before we let you go today and what's happening in your life?
This call on my life has cost dearly in many different ways. So I just ask for prayer covering. This ministry is not mine. Move Toward Unity exists for the body. It exists for every kingdom movement, every church, every ministry to come together. I just facilitate what God has called and given. I need prayer and wisdom, and we need resources. We just started this ministry. I'm looking to sell a business I've owned for the last 20 years and to move in this full time, but we're not there yet. We need support. But God has already produced fruit. We've already seen a number of organizations come out of this, and some specific kingdom framework for rebuilding that God is showing us that he's moving in that framework according to his word, and it's creating impact in the DC region, and I expect that to continue.
And so we will pray for that. And again, thank you so much. And listeners, if you would like to get a hold of Gabe and talk to him, be a part of the organization Moving Towards Unity in whatever way God's moving you, again, movetowardunity.com. If you want to be a part of praying on May 2nd there with the body of Christ in Frederick, frederickpraise.com. You can go there and find out more about it. And of course, if you'd like to talk to someone here at WAVA, you can always send an email to comment@WAVA.com, or you can send or call me rather at 703-729-3900 and ask for me, and I'll pick up and I'll get right back to you. But I hope you've been challenged today. Hope you're reminded that unity is something that doesn't happen by accident. It's something that needs to be moved towards because the gospel is worth it.
It's the gospel that makes a way.
Thank you for joining us and listening to Good News for the City, a gospel partnership between WAVA and One Heart DC. This is a partnership movement which celebrates and seeks to accelerate the move of the gospel into the Washington, D.C. metro area. It is our prayer that through this radio broadcast ministry of Good News for the City, we will see transformed lives and communities, and more people responding to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to help bring unity to Bible-believing people and churches in order to multiply our impact in our city, and we would love for you to join us. You can learn more at goodnewsforthecity.com. That's goodnewsforthecity.com. Or you can go to WAVA.com, keyword good news. Or you can call us at 703-807-2266. 703-807-2266. And remember, it's the gospel that makes a way.